This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, my cat-loving friends. My goodness, but Rita and I try to learn as much as we can about so many areas of cats, but there is one area that will confuse even a genius, and that is our cat's food and nutrition. Do we need all this? So we have Chad Wethel with us today. He is the Senior Global Marketing Manager, Pet and Lifestyle for Cargill's Animal Nutrition Business.
Boy, That's quite a title.
I'm like, yes. So we're going to see if we can make sense of some of this cat food stuff and what we're supposed to be feeding our cats and what's really going on as soon as we get back from this word from our sponsor.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to 19 Cats and Counting. I am your co-host, Linda Hall, here with my gorgeous blonde bombshell BFF.
Should I do the beauty queen wave?
My partner, yes, yes, my ride or die doing the queen's wave, Rita Reimers.
And I have Miss Lulu here. I don't know. Yeah, I see her, but she's cuddled up against your side of the screen again, Linda. She's dying to meet you.
I can't wait to meet her.
Lulu is one of our latest intakes at the Carolina Sanctuary.
Yes. So I got to ask, you have been in the cat arena space long before me. Mm-hmm. Does this nutrition stuff make sense to you, or do you need to talk to Chad as much as I do?
It's guesswork. And look, and almost every day I look at my cats and go, are you still hungry? Am I overfeeding? Am I underfeeding?
Are you getting everything you need?
Are you
eating the right thing? Was this okay?
Yes.
Let's get Chad in here and see if he can clear some of this up. Hello, Chad.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. So I suppose we should start with an explanation of what it is that Cargill's is all about and what it is that they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned, my mouthful of a title, I'm a global marketing manager here within our Cargill Animal Nutrition business. And specifically, the group that I work with, the team that I work with, provides pet food brands or manufacturers with nutrition and ingredients that they then use to make their pet foods, treats, and supplements. And Cargill as a whole is really involved in the global pet food industry, truly from the farm all the way to the bowl or the dish, from ingredient sourcing through various points along the value chain and all the way through delivering finished products to pet bowls and dishes.
Awesome.
Nice.
And so, what is it that you do within that realm?
Yes, absolutely. So I'm within marketing, and I work on a very specific type of ingredient called postbiotics. And postbiotics are kind of a newer ingredient to the pet food space, but they've been safely used in animal nutrition for decades. And really, the quickest way to think of a postbiotic is, you know, you're probably familiar with a probiotic.
Yes.
Which are the live microorganisms that live in the gut. One of the key roles of those organisms is to produce postbiotics. And these postbiotics deliver something called metabolites. So things like amino acids, fatty acids, vitamins, minerals, etc. They deliver all of those to the gut that can then be absorbed through the gut and used for energy and other life functions. So it's a really benefit of the postbiotic is that you're getting kind of these metabolites served directly to the gut with every serving. And so I work with our proactive health ingredients such as that then our customers use to put into their pet foods, their pet treats and pet supplements so that our pets or cats are able to have those health backed benefits with every meal.
I never thought about where they get their supplementation from when they're making pet food.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, you know, long gone, I think, are the days of, you know, the diet is just like some nutrients, like, you know, you kind of throw in the bowl. There's a lot of advancements that really happen in the pet food space, you know, and claims and unpack are, you know, they're not just there to be pretty logos and pictures and icons, right? They actually have a lot of meaning and carry a lot of value, and lots of validation goes into those claims that are put onto our pet food packaging. You can't just put anything on a pet food label. It actually has to be backed by a substantiation and being in line with the FDA. And so, yeah, and I think definitely in the most recent years, you've seen a lot more advancements and more health and proactive health packed into our pets' nutrition, and even in places where you might not normally think of it, such as your complete food that you're giving them every day and maybe not even thinking about it.
That's what stopped me from trying to make my own just food. Talk about yes, that. Because we did.
We tried.
In our course in animal behavior, we learned about macronutrients and micronutrients, and it made my head hurt, Chad. It was the only part of the entire curriculum that I was like, get me out of here. I'm lost. I can't do this one. So it's
hey, but we still passed with honors.
What goes in.
We still passed.
We did. With honors, we did. We got the answers. But it's not as simple as just making a meal like you do for your human family members, right?
No, whenever I hear people feeding like just human tuna, human chicken, I cringe because I know they're not getting what they need.
Yes, exactly. So I was reading on Cargill's information about the study that you did with a cat paw rinse, as I like to call them. can you tell us about that study?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we're very much a data insight-driven organization. And, you know, one of the things we like to do is we develop new ingredients and nutrition for any pet. In this case, cats, we were really noticing, as I'm sure you're well aware, a sizable gap in the amount of information available on cat food and treat shoppers, especially in comparison to our dog parent counterparts, right? And so we really believe that one of the best ways to uncover the needs of any consumer group is simply just to ask them. So we conducted a survey, a consumer survey, and it was about 1,000 cat parents. In this case, we looked across the United States, the United Kingdom, Germany, and France. Those were kind of our focus area. And really, as a nutrition company, we did this survey because we really wanted to understand what their perceptions are of how nutrition plays a role in supporting cat health. But we also wanted to learn, you know, what is it at the forefront of their minds when it comes to the cat's health, and whether or not they think that they have or believe that they have the nutrition options available to them to actually support their cat's health in the way that they feel is best.
And so what were the results?
Yeah, I mean, just like a lot of studies, in many cases, these types of surveys are more validating in terms of like what you think you already know. And I think this was definitely the case. You know, in this study, some kind of high level notes are, it really did reveal that I believe nearly half of cat parents did in fact say that they're concerned about their cats developing a health condition, which, you know, I think in the grand scheme of things, I think some people generally tend to think that cat parents are less involved than maybe dog parents are.
It's really the opposite.
But exactly. And I actually have two cats ourselves. We have a 16-year-old cat named Toby and a 2-year-old cat named Sylvester, right? And we're always keeping an eye on them. We're actually our 7-year-old daughter. She's far more alert of changes in their behavior even than we are.
Well, that makes sense. She's kind of down on their level. She sees things from their perspective a little more, right?
She's our cat manager.
I love it.
But really, you know, when we look at all these concerns, you know, we saw things like vomiting, immune strength, and diarrhea. Those were sort of the leading contributors to what they're actually concerned about. And these are pretty universal, but there were actually a couple of kind of interesting regional differences when we looked more closely.
Yeah, I'd be very interested in that. We talk to people from all over the world. So this is really fascinating.
Yes. And we see a few differences in the way, you know, it tends to be that the UK lets their cats out in the garden more. And it seems to be a safe thing as opposed to the US where we're like, keep your cat in. But when it comes to the basis, what we have found, whether we're talking to someone in Iran,
they're all worried about the same thing,
or Kansas, is that cat lovers are committed to their cats and will do anything. So were there any differences between countries in the study?
Yeah, a couple of just kind of observations on some of the health characteristics. For example, in the United States, they tended to be more concerned about cat anxiety. This was not a top attribute in the other markets that we evaluated.
Well, that makes total sense why everybody who calls us is talking about cat anxiety. So that fits.
Right? Yeah, we see that, Chad. We can back up your research, let me tell you.
Yeah. And in the UK, there was actually far more incidents of them being concerned about dental issues. And that was like actually not something that was of concern in other markets as well. So it's just kind of interesting how you see some consumers think about things a little bit more. And then, you know, when you look at then beyond the what they're concerned about with their cat, you think about the product attributes. So, you know, kind of like you said, some things are universal. The one such thing is ingredient quality. That was by far the number one most important attribute when they're thinking about making a purchase. Ingredient quality was universally the most important consideration. And then, you know, amongst the group, that was followed by, of course, price and then the product's actual format. But again, you know, we saw some regional outliers. For instance, in France, the brand's reputation was the top three factor. And then actually for German cat parents, taste and palatability was a top factor, which going into this, we kind of thought taste and palatability would be a top three across the board. Because you always, you know, one thing about the pet industry, if the cats or your dogs don't like it, that is like number one, a brand is going to not have a product pass go. If they're doing product testing and the dog or cat doesn't love it, it does not pass go. Because if they don't love it, nobody's going to buy it.
That's good, because think of that lady we talked to yesterday. She's trying food after food after food. Her cat won't eat anything except the food he's allergic to. So yes, good taste is important, or because a cat will starve versus a dog will eventually eat. The cat won't. They'll starve themselves before they eat something they don't like.
And I think one other like really cool thing for us as a kind of more research like centric organization, we actually did find that about 70% of the US cat parents that value research back claims were actually seeking claims that are supported by cat specific research. So for us, this is really validating because a lot of pet food brands still, you know, it is still quite common to leverage general pet research to cover both dogs and cats. And I think this insight really supports the need for our industry to put more resources behind cat-specific research, you know, because we all know cats are not dogs. And we can even see now from these insights that this is really something that cat parents are seeking and place a value on.
I'm guilty of that. And I've told Rita, if I go to a company and the dog is on their front page and there's no cat to be seen, I get off of it.
I'm gone.
They may have the best product in the world, but I'm like, you didn't represent my feline friends, so I'm gone. We know.
I kind of feel that way about that. I won't name that pet sitting app that's named after a dog's name.
Exactly. Yes. It's like, it's so
dog centric. They do cat sitting, but how would
you
know?
But it's dog centric. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I know we have to take a break soon, but I'm going to leave you with a question.
We got about 2 to 3 minutes.
Okay. When we go to the pet food aisle and we're looking at cat foods, there's hairball formula and aging and indoor and
what if they make one to do it all? Okay.
Right. Exactly. Do you find validity in that? Or should I be looking for these kinds of things? Or is this what we should be looking at, these specific problems?
Yeah. I mean, I think definitely one of the trends that we see, not just within the feline space, but within the broader pet space, is just the idea of personalization and targeted solutions. So I think a lot of consumers are really wanting that specialized approach. I think there's a tendency or a sentiment that like a one size fits all, like my cat isn't average. My cat isn't like every other cat, right? All of our pets are special and unique. And I think in a lot of ways we want to provide that special diet that we think best fits their need. I think the easiest, or not the easiest, the most scalable way to date, right, has been to have more specific claims or certain portfolios of products that each have, you know, maybe right. a little bit of a different customization to it. Indoor cat, senior cat, kitten, you know, active, like, right, like, so that's kind of the most scalable way. But even now you're seeing like really interesting things happen where a lot of brands are exploring, you know, personalized diets, right, where you kind of provide the information, they formulate it, and you get kind of a customized diet, even down to the microbiome, right? Like formulating, that's kind of a newer kind of place that the industry is kind
of exploring. I've noticed some chatter about that.
You know, because we're all of our microbiomes are, it's microbiome essentially like a unique fingerprint, like, right? So it's, they're all unique. And even if you have multiple cats in your home, even if they're eating the same thing, they have different genetics, they have different needs. And right. so you might not even be able to provide the same diet to two of your same cats that live in your home. So
that's true.
I think there's kind of a desire to customize diets, and probably a over complication.
I agree with that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break here for one of our awesome sponsors, and we'll be right back to learn more about the pet food industry. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Linda Hall from 19 Cats and Counting.
And I'm Rita Reimers from 19 Cats and Counting. You know the expression that cats have 9 lives? Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life.
How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life, and it helps control the free-roaming cat populations too. You can learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org.
That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with 19 Cats and Counting. By the way, those of you keeping track, yes, I'm back up to 19 cats, but on another topic. Let's get back to talking with Chad about what his company Cargill is doing to research pet ownership and cat ownership and have that influence how the pet food industry operates. Yes.
So we have said just amongst ourselves that we're finally starting to see more and more representation for cats. It used to be specific for dogs, and then your cat was like this afterthought that you just grabbed a bag of food and threw out there some kibble for them. So are you seeing these changes and this growth as well, Chad?
Yeah, I mean, one of the really great things for the industry is that it's making significant advances for our cats. I think we've all been in either a pet food store or grocery store aisle, right? And you see the dogs have multiple aisles and the cats have like a half of an aisle that they share with the birds and the fish and everything.
And the hamsters.
And I think, you know, one of the really exciting things is when we look at new product development, which could be anything from like a new product launch or a channel expansion, what have you. When you look at new product development for cat foods and treats, they've actually grown over 10,000 new products were actually launched just in 2023.
To leader.
Twice as many as the year before and three times as many as 2020. So you're really starting to see, you know, really a lot of explosive growth in the cat nutrition space. And really when we're starting to then look at the trends in that space, we're starting to see a lot of momentum and focus on cat health and targeted solutions. So, you know, when you think about cat health, we're starting to see things like weight management, a lot happening in the weight management area.
Our indoor cats are fat.
Yeah. Yes. And then interestingly, like I've seen data on like what the reality of cat obesity is and then what owner's perception is, right? And it's not exactly matched, right? So there's even perception that our cats aren't as overweight as maybe they are, or we don't really
know
what the correct weight really should be. So we're seeing a lot of movement. There and in particularly in the area of like things like nutrient utilization, ways to help cats feel more full, right? Like adding some lean protein, some fiber-rich types of ingredients, right? So they're not, we know that cats are grazers, right? Like we know that they're not like dogs and they'll just scarf it all up in a single like serving, right? Like they like to nibble. And so we can kind of control that a little bit more. And then we're also seeing a lot of growth in gut health solutions. So, you know, we kind of touched on the gut microbiome earlier, but, you know, we work with postbiotics, prebiotics, probiotics, all the biotics, you know, really taking a more active role in these claims. And then even supplements, right? Like we all, I don't know if any of us have tried to give a cat an old-fashioned supplement, right? Not a pleasant experience.
Exactly.
But we're starting to see kind of similar to how we sneak, you know, vitamins and minerals into our kids and gummies. Like we're starting to see functional treats really start to pop up as supplements. It's tastier. There's a more, you know, it looks like a treat. It smells like a treat, tastes like a treat, but it's really got like active ingredients.
Yeah, if I'm allowed to say like pet honesty, we love those calming treats for cats and our cats love them.
Absolutely.
But when we were first researching calming treats, we bought so many treats that our cats wouldn't eat, Chad, that I said, I'm done. I'm not buying another treat. Fortunately, Pet Honesty offered us for free to try anything in their line, which is why we ended up with that. But yeah, I had given
flavor
up. I didn't think
important.
They're like little erasers, right? And my cats won't eat them. And I threw a lot of money in the trash can. So the palatability is important.
Yes.
Yes. It's all, and you know, it's a lot about not just, and that's a really amazing thing about the pet food industry. It's not just about the pet. A lot of the growth is about us as pet parents and how we feel with the products that we give our pets and what that emotional experience or feeling and full experiences for us as well. And it's just a lot more pleasant if we can give them a treat or a supplement that they like
a treat,
and we're not having to force it or sneak it in and then they filter it out anyways. And
treats are supposed to be fun rewards, not punishment to be crammed down your throat.
Right.
Or like yes. when people have to give their cat a pill and they put it inside those little pill pocket treats to try to fool them. It does the first time or two, but after that, no.
Yeah, they eat around it or yes, exactly. And actually just in the food, you know, if I think 20 years ago, because I'm in my late 50s, so, you know, I'm up there a minute. 20 years ago, your choice was the bag of whomever's food on the shelf. And now we're getting all this stuff that raw and whatever that can be sent to you and
holistic
personalized and holistic and organic. And yes.
Prescription. Yeah, it's confusing.
Yes, it is. So what should cat parents be paying attention to specifically? What can we do to help our cats to live healthier, better lives?
Yeah. So kind of like on the point of you just having more options available. I mean, the good news in our industry is that, you know, of those new product developments that I kind of mentioned, the explosion, more than half of those foods and treats actually are including what we call proactive health claims. So think of things like your gut health and digestive health, immunity, eye health, brain health. You mentioned calming, right? So you know, that more than half of them have all of that sort of like built in to the product. So I think if there is a specific health concern that a cat parent has, there is very likely a nutrition solution on the market that can really help support it. But, you know, one plug, of course, that we'll always make is regardless of the product, you always work closely with trained pet nutritionists or your veterinarian to really develop those custom nutrition plans.
Oh, yeah. So if you Google, you will find opposite information.
Dr. Google is not your friend.
No, Google, you're 100% right. Yes. We go to do research for a blog and we're like, oh, blah, blah. And then we run across another site that says the exact opposite. And so we're throwing up our hands and waiting to talk to an expert like you that can fill us in correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Last thing we want to do is continue to disseminate bad information.
Exactly.
The thing is too, it's hard to find feline nutritionists and feline nutritionists that don't cost an arm and a leg. So it hurts hoping the pet foods, you know, take the need for that out of the equation and give us more information about their products, the nutrients they contain, and the proper feeding amounts too. That's very perplexing for pet parents.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say, I would just kind of add, you know, just really seeking out professional sources, you know, like yourselves, like your veterinarians, and you know, manufacturers have a lot of information on their websites, on even on the pack. A lot of regulatory, there is a lot of regulatory restrictions in what, like I said, what pet food companies can say and cannot say.
Right.
Yeah.
So when you're reading information on, you know, a credible manufacturer brand's website, like you really should have, or a pet parent should really have confidence mm-hmm. and assurance knowing that that information is factual, it's accurate, it's not likely to be biased. It would impose far more risk for a major manufacturer to publish inaccurate information than try to skew with a marketing message. So, you know, I would say, you know, there are times where we've heard a sentiment that, you know, they don't want to trust a brand or whatever the case is, but I would definitely still lean on our pet food manufacturers. They have a wealth of information, and a lot of it is not promotional information. It's factual, science-based information.
Yeah, there are certain brands I avoid. I won't name who they are, but I haven't read their pet labels recently either. So
yeah,
who knows if things have changed.
So a quote off of the website, Cargill's committed to providing food ingredients, agricultural solutions, and industrial products to nourish the world in a safe, responsible, and sustainable way. So love that. So can you expound it all on safe, responsible, and sustainable?
Ooh, put you on the spot, Linda.
I actually would have to ask if I can answer. I don't even have a great answer, and I don't know that I can answer that
absolutely
question.
Okay. We've all got our departments, but I love that because we do. I mean, you don't have to be a cat parent to know that all of the things that you have spoken about, like gut health and things like responsibility and sustainability, those are big words that we're experiencing regarding everything, regarding our own health, our waste, our everything. Mm-hmm. So I love that this is jumping into it now because, again, 20 years ago, you just bought the cheapest bag that was gigantic of dry kibble and just left it out, right?
Oh, yeah. And like when I was a kid, we had a dog. We just fed him anything.
What I could say is, as an example of, you know, what our commitment is to animal nutrition is, you know, when I mentioned the Pulsebiotic ingredients that we have, and they are publicly available trade brand names. They go under the name of Epicor Pets, which can be actually found in both human supplements as well as pet supplements. And also another ingredient called Trumune is that between our Cargill pet postbiotics, they are backed by a dozen pet-specific research studies with universities. So, and many of these are peer-reviewed and published. And so, you know, it's really our commitment to providing, you know, back to the earlier point, one of the reasons we asked if cat-specific research was important is because we do believe in species-specific validation of our technologies and of our products. You know, if a customer... if a brand, you know, uses an ingredient in another species, you know, that's always on, you know, at their discretion. But our commitment to their customers and to our customers is that our products are going to be backed by research, and all of the claims would be substantiated. So a great amount, you know, what some people maybe don't realize is, you know, we recently just released some new cat research showing the benefits of our postbiotics in cat foods and treats and supplements, specifically demonstrating benefits in palatability. So it's actually a yeast-based postbiotic. So cats love yeast, right? So
yes, they do.
With a nice improvement in supporting palatability, supporting a diverse and rich gut microbiome, a balanced immune response, and even firmer stools. So we kind of like to call it a elevated experience, right? From the food bowl to the litter box kind of a thing. But as an example, I mean, that was a research study that was a multiple years. It was done a while ago, but we needed to have many statisticians and PhDs review and validate the data, right? So, I mean, we're talking like 2+ 2-3 years of research going into a single ingredient that is just a single ingredient used inside of a pet food, right? So when you think of these, especially, you know, larger pet food organizations, and when you add up all of the time and the research behind a lot of the ingredients that go into their products, there's a lot of research in there. But anyways, regarding Cargill, that's just really where, you know, we're very core in animal nutrition. And that, you know, a really interesting, you know, way that we benefit the pet food industry is that, you know, a lot of our learnings are also learned on the livestock and larger animal feed side as well. So we have lots of cross sharing between, you know, what we might learn in pigs and chickens might actually be interesting in dogs and cats. So we kind of go and explore that and do a pet specific studies, right? And validate it there and revalidate it and validate it again. And so that's really, I think, one of the great powers in like a global organization like Cargill.
I love that Cargill is doing that.
Can I just have to say something regarding the yeast. Yes, cats love yeast. Don't everyone go out and give your cat baker's yeast. Yes! To blow up. We're talking nutritional yeast. I just have to make that clarification. I don't want to be responsible for any cat's gut issues.
That would have exactly somebody would have gone.
Thank you. Yes, this is not a byproduct yeast ingredient. Yes. It's a super fascinating process where we actually in two fermentation facilities, actually both in Iowa, we grow the yeast strains as a probiotic. We heat treat them to extract the postbiotic metabolites that gets dried down into a powder. And then that powder is what is added to pet foods and treats and supplements to deliver those health benefits.
That is awesome. You guys, I love that you're putting so much research into everything.
That's just what I was going to say. Yes, we love hearing about companies really caring and treating our fur babies with the same care as our human babies, because I can tell you having both that they're equally important to me and their health and what I'm doing for them.
Well, I haven't had human children, and a lot of people that call us, their cats are like their kids, like for me.
Yes,
right?
100%. Yeah.
I know some people who've had both and said, not Linda, but have said like they, if they had to do it all over, they would just do cats.
They just have children. The cats. Yeah. That's hysterical. Yes.
Any last thoughts for us, Chad, before we wrap up? We'd love to have you back again, bud.
Yeah, no, I think we were really happy to, you know, learn more about cat parents, always looking to serve the market more effectively. And I think I'm very excited that cats are having a moment. I think it will be a moment. It will be a persisting moment. I think we're really excited about the growth of cats, not just, you know, here in the US, but all over the world. And we're really committed to helping cats live healthy and active lives.
And longer lives.
And long lives. Yeah.
And we are so thankful for Cargill for doing that, because we love our babies. Wait, I think that was the best ending statement I've ever heard.
Yes, it was. Definitely. Was
2 points for Chad.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you, Chad, for being on our show and giving us so much hope that our pet food industry is just going to get stronger and better, and we'll have healthier choices out there in more different brands than we have now, even.
Yes.
And Linda, of course, thank you so much for being my forever BFF, forever and ever. I don't know what I'd do without you.
Back at you, baby.
Sorry for getting a little emotional. I have problems. And of course, Mark Winter, for giving us this opportunity on Pet Life Radio that we appreciate so much. Thank you so much. Just remember, everyone, every day is Catter Day. See you next show.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.